Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for always hearing us. And as we come together today to lift up our voices, we know you have promised that while we are yet speaking, you will answer. While the word is still in our mouth, that's right. You hear us all the time. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talking about prayers and supplications and intercessions and thanksgiving. Scripture exhorts us to do that. Take my scripture reading this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. So, Lord bless his word in our hearts this morning. Talking about prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanksgiving. We'll talk about that briefly, but then we will do it. The aspect of prayer involves starting off with adoration to the Lord. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave us this, what you might call a prayer template. He said, first thing that we do, as we see what he says here, and then he himself, when he was talking about how people pray, he said, look, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. This is Matthew chapter 6, by the way. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, so this is on the subject of prayer, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So Jesus right away, the reason characterizing them as hypocrites here is because the focus and the objective and the purpose, you know, behind their prayer is not really what they are praying about, right? The motives is mostly to be seen of men. Now, when we pray to be seen of men, well, Jesus said, you already have your reward. And but he said, look, but you, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward ye openly. Now, Jesus was, it's kind of a metaphor that he was using there. I don't think he was necessarily saying that the only place for you to pray is inside your closet. Otherwise, that will validate the scriptures that say pray without ceasing and men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Jesus himself prayed not only when he was in the closet. We saw that he was out early in the morning, in the daytime. But the closet just means, it's a metaphor that means not to be seen. You're not out there showing off your prayers. That's what the closet prayer means. Does it mean? I mean, if you want, you can literally enter into your closet, but you know that that's not practical. Every time you need to pray, you have to go back to the closet. No, but you go into the closet, you know, in your mind. You go to the closet like that. It's a virtual closet. You're not doing it to be seen, but you're doing it before your Father. Say, your Father, we see it in secret. We reward the prayer openly. The reward for prayer is good. You know, and it is a good thing for us to desire the right reward for prayer from the Lord. Because Jesus makes it clear here that there is reward for prayer. You can get that reward from men, or you can get it from the Father. So, and then he says, also talks about vain repetition. He said, well, when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard, for they are much speaking. So, he said, well, when we pray, use not vain repetition. Now, the key word here is vain. The key word is vain. He's not talking about being persistent in prayer, because we know he taught that in other places. Luke chapter 18, he taught that men ought always to pray. He gives many stories about persistence in prayer. You know, but here he's talking about vain repetition. You just say the same thing over and over and over again because, you know, Jesus said you think that that's how they're going to be heard. So that's how the heathen pray. So we see that heathen actually pray. But they just repeat the same thing over and over. And he said, no, it's not the length of your prayer. It's not your much speaking that's going to make you to be heard. Be ye therefore not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, even before you ask him. And again, Jesus trying to, you know, help us establish that relationship with God as our Father. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, he has already told us how not to pray. Now, he's going to tell us how to pray. Now, remember, it's after this manner. Some people actually repeat this prayer, you know, as though, I mean, I've heard some people, they're not real believers. I mean, they may be in some religion such as Catholicism or some other thing. When they want to pray, they repeat just a few words, you know, and I've heard some of them repeat this as if this is the prayer that Jesus told us to be praying. No, he said after this manner, which means he's giving a template of how we should pray. And let's take a look at this template. The first thing that we see, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. So Jesus establishes that relationship. We should approach God with that relationship. In other words, you know, what is the thing that gives you, grants you the access? Well, the relationship. You know, so when the child comes to the Father, they got that relationship, got something special that others may not have. You know, so Jesus right away establishes that relationship. Come to him as your Father. Father which art in heaven. And then the first next thing is adoration. Hallowed be thy name. It doesn't mean that those are the only words that we must say when we adore him in prayer. Jesus is just giving an example. And he's trying to keep it brief because he's laying down a pattern. And he's not showing us here that when you adore God in prayer, you say only three or four words and you're done. No. It's just saying that when you come to Him, you come with adoration. The first part of our prayer ought to be adoration. You know, we talk about thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we just worship you. We thank you for who you are. I mean, whatever words of adoration you want to pour upon him, it's all good. And that's the first, that ought to be the first part of our prayer. You know, we shouldn't be in too much of a hurry to only, when we pray, just ask and ask and ask for things and not adore him. So we must adore him in prayer. And then the next thing, you pray about spiritual things. You know, like what's uppermost in God's heart? What was uppermost in Jesus' heart at that time? Well, he came to reintroduce to us the kingdom of God, which we should have had, but we didn't know that knowledge. And so even in his early days when he set out in his ministry and when he sent his disciples out, his first words were, you know, go and preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, that was his focus, you know, at the time. We need to align our prayers with whatever is God's focus at the time. The kingdom of heaven. And that focus actually has never changed. The announcement of it was what Jesus and the early disciples did, even John the Baptist himself did. But it hasn't really gone away from that focus. And God hasn't gone away. He's still, the kingdom of God should still be uppermost, and the things around that kingdom. And what are the things around the kingdom that Jesus taught, you know, at the, towards the end of this, chapter, it talks about seeking, first the kingdom of God in verse 33. Seeking the kingdom of God. What do you mean to seek? Well, it means to desire, you know, desire, press toward it. In one place, he says, you know, that from the days of John the Baptist, you know, until now, he said, the kingdom of heaven is preached. I mean, sorry, the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached and people are pressing into it. This is in the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. And then from that time, the kingdom of God is preached. So John was the one person that had one leg in the law and the prophets and another leg in the kingdom. It was that bridge right there, transitioning from, well, the law and the prophets to the kingdom. And now we must be focused on the things of the kingdom. Jesus said, you pray about that. Such things like souls being saved, righteousness returning to the earth, and the things of God in general. Then we go on, you know, right after we pray that prayer, we'll talk about thy will be done in earth. Well, that also goes to, it is not God's will that people should perish, but that men ought to come to repentance and be saved. So the salvation of lost souls. Jesus said, I am not come to judge, but to save. Salvation of lost souls. This is the will of my Father, that all that he has given me, I should lose none of them, but I should raise them up at the last day. I came not to do my own will, but my Father's will. And in many places, he spoke about, things like this, coming to do the Father's will. And he said, look, my meat in John 4 and 34 is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That was what Jesus was consumed about. And he's telling us also, that we should be praying about the will of God. Let's see one scripture. There are many scriptures, but for sake of time, I'm just going to read a few. Here is one about Father's will. In John chapter 6, we read here from verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What? And then what is the will of him that sent you? And he's going to tell us what it is now. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And again, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we see Jesus is describing the will of the Father here. It has to do with the Lord preserving his own people, everyone that he has given me. It has to do with everyone which seeth the Son. Well, how are you going to see the Son? Well, you see or hear about the Son today through the preaching of the gospel. So it also has to do with bringing in the lost, securing and establishing and building up the saints, and also securing the lost and bringing them in, and so forth. So this is the will of the Father. So when we pray and say thy will be done on earth, that's what we're praying about. It's not just saying thy will be done in earth. We have to understand what his will is. What is his will? Jesus explained it here. Praise the Lord. So back to the prayer template. After that, he said, now you have worshipped the Lord. You've prayed about the things of the kingdom and what's uppermost in God's heart. Then you switch. You can now switch to other things such as our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And you see the way that Jesus even prayed about it. We need that daily contact and daily dependence on the Lord. Not give us a year supply, 7 years supply, 1 month supply even, daily. So that we can come back to him and make that daily contact every day. If we had so much stuff that some days pass by that we don't need the Lord, that's a problem. So we need the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, whatever we need for today. Bread is more than just what we put in our mouth to eat. It's everything that sustains life. It talks about bread. Now you're going to go to relationships, our own relationship with the Father and others. Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, just like we forgive others who have trespassed and wronged us. Or you can read it this way, since we also forgive. God, as, the word as can be, just like, or it can also mean since. So as we are also forgiving others, we pray that you also forgive us. And pray about releasing people you know, the hold that we have over them for the things they've done, release that hold. Release them. Not only say I forgive, but release them. You know, that's the power of forgiveness. Release. Now, and then he warns us that if we forgive men their trespasses, your Father also forgive you. But if you do not, then your Heavenly Father will also not forgive you. And we close the prayer, you know, with God protecting us. I mean, delivering us. That's the prayer. I mean, close that section about us praying for ourselves, you know, with praying about protection. Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from temptation. Lead us away from temptation. And deliver us from evil. You pray. You start out your day or whatever time. You pray against evil. You hide yourself in the, you know, pavilion of the Lord and we pray against evil. Praise the Lord. And when you pray, you ask the Lord for protection. Hallelujah. And then round up the prayer again with acknowledging the Lord's greatness. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's prayer. Now, that's one part of what Paul admonishes us to do. The other part is supplications, intercessions, and thanksgiving. Well, let's talk about supplications, you know, for a minute. You know, supplication is bringing our specific needs. We've already talked about it in that prayer template that Jesus gave. Personal difficulties, personal needs, opening our hearts, pouring our hearts out to the Lord, and recognizing that we need Him, you know. And then we beseech Him for our needs. Lord, I need you. I need your help here. I'm struggling with this and that. You know, we be open before the Lord. He already knows everything about us. Anyway, might as well open up to Him. And the good thing about the Lord is He is one that knows us better than even we know ourselves. Yet, He loves us. You know, knows the things you're struggling with, which you wouldn't even want other people to know. But yet, He loves you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, there is nothing that is not made manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He already knows everything. So when you come to God, come in vulnerability, simplicity. Say, I need your help, Lord. And beseech Him for your needs and the areas and things that we are struggling with. Now, that's supplications, you know, like that. We come to God, expressing our hearts before Him, asking for various things that we need from Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. This is personal now. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, so, and let's not be vague. You know, I often teach people, be specific in your prayers. When Jesus was saying that no father would give his son a stone when the stone asks for bread, or give him a snake when he asks for fish, or give him a scorpion when he asks for egg. Well, that prayer, that lesson, relates to being specific in prayer. The son came to the father asking for bread. He was specific. He asked for fish. and he asked for egg. He was specific. Now, if he wasn't specific and he was vague, like, give me something, then the father could have given him a stone, because a stone is something. Could give him a snake or a scorpion, or that's something. No, we be specific in prayer. If you need bread, ask for bread. If you need egg, ask for egg. If you need fish, ask for fish. Be specific in your prayer. And when the Lord does it also, you know, you will be blessed in your heart knowing that you can check that off, that God has done it specifically. So we should not be vague in our prayers and supplication. Let's talk about intercessions. Well, intercessions is basically standing in the gap for others. There's a lot of places in the Bible where people stood in the gap. Abraham, he tried to stand in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's, you know, prayed and stood before the Lord and said, look, when the Lord said, I'm going to go over there, and the cry of this place has come to me, and if it's true, then we're going to destroy the place. And Abraham stood before the Lord, Genesis 18, and said, well, what if the Lord finds 50 people there? Will you still destroy the place? On and on and on, he argued it. You know, that's intercessions. When we are looking, when we are standing in the gap for, someone else and making up the hedge, you know, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, that's prayer on behalf of somebody else. And the Lord said in some places that he's looking for intercessors like that. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should, you know, make up the hedge and stand in the gap. So that's intercessors. Prayer intercessors. God always looking for those. And every one of us should be prayer intercessors. Don't be misled by the so-called terminology of prayer warriors. You know, everybody should be prayer intercessors. Always praying for others. Always standing in the gap for others. Praise the Lord. So that's basically what intercessions are all about. Standing in the gap. Standing for others in prayer. That's intercessions. And you can pray for the lost. You can pray for those who are suffering, need, sick. You can pray for those even in authority. You can pray for the church, you can pray for your neighbors, you can pray for your family, you can pray for, you know, generally it's about others rather than yourself. You know, so that's what intercessions is. When we are committing to praying for our families, friends, even our cities, nations, communities, people who are struggling with one thing or the other, as long as we're praying for somebody else, that's intercessions. And then we talk about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is being grateful. To be grateful. Enter into his courts. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So when we come with prayer, come with thanksgiving, even when you come with supplications, come with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, when you come with prayers for others, come with thanksgiving. Always mingle thanksgiving along with it. Praise the Lord. And be thankful for the things that the Lord has done. So these are the essentials in prayer. You know, we worship the Lord. We pray about the things that are uppermost in his heart. We pray for ourselves, pray for our safety and so on. Pray for deliverance. We pray for our relationship with others, you know, and so on and so forth. So these things, you know, that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy, you know, chapter 2, like that. So, giving thanks in all things, you know, that's another commandment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, in everything, give thanks. That's 18. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we have elements of prayer, you know, like that. Another element of prayer that we should all practice is asking or making our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's where the real power is. You know, Jesus oftentimes, he was teaching his disciples, you know, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Or if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. John chapter 14, verse 13 says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So that's the name of Jesus. You can ask in the name of Jesus. You can ask, you can pray directly your prayer by asking in the name of Jesus. You can also ask the Father in his name. It's all the same. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus and he will give it to you. Yeah, he instructs that. Not only will the Lord do it when you pray like that, it's because he will glorify the Father. He said that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, even if you ask it in Jesus' name, when he does it, it will give glory to God, you know, the Father like that. In the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus was telling the disciples, he said, look, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, John 16:23, he will give it to you. So, ask in my name or ask the Father in my name, all the same thing. Because John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. So don't be confused about who we should pray to. Prayer should always be directed to the Father in the name of Jesus. But you can also ask things in the name of Jesus. You can say in the name of Jesus. That's right. I command you, rise up and walk. Now you're using his name directly in prayer. Yeah, you know, you make supplications like that. And Jesus is called the high priest over the house of God. So he's also standing there on your behalf to help along your prayers. And when you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, the Father will glorify that name. He will do it too. Praise God. So these are the elements, and I want us to just do some quick prayers this morning. First of all, you know, we will pray the prayer of thanksgiving and adoration. And remember, Jesus said, don't use vain repetition. You know, or long, just thinking, you know, the longer you pray, the more God will hear you. No. it's not the length of your words. It's the substance of your prayer. Whether there's any faith in it. And whether that prayer is based upon what he already promised. So we can pray all night or all day. If we don't have any faith, it may not move anything. But if you have faith in his promises, our faith, in order for it to be valid, must be based on his word. God already promised something. There may be some condition to it. We check it out. Make sure that we are meeting the condition. We put our faith in his word. We pray. That's the same way we get saved. We put our faith in the promise that if we confess our sins, you know, and ask the Lord for forgiveness and trust our lives into his hands and believe on him, that he came in this world to die for our sins, did die, and rose up for our justification, that we shall be saved. We got to put our faith in those things. Otherwise, you can't be saved. So, we're going to go into prayers. I want us to do some prayer fire this morning. And pray for the kingdom of God to come. Pray for your needs also. If we spend more time in prayer, like early in the morning, you pray over the day, you pray against the wiles of the devil, you pray against evil, we will avoid many things. You know, accidents will have fewer chances of happening against us. And we pray like that. Because Jesus said, pray that the Lord should deliver us from evil. There may be a trap, a snare that the devil has set, and you pray, you know, you will escape. Yeah, praise God, you know. The scripture gives us insight into, you know, these things. Insight into knowing, he said, look, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 17, surely in vain is the nest spread in sight of any bird. You're trying to catch a bird and you're setting a snare and he's looking at you. The bird is looking. He's not going to fall for it because he can't see it. Now, the metaphor there is that whatever the enemy is planning, you know, whatever snare he's setting, well, let the eyes of the eagle see it already. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You see it, and he can show it to you. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. You can see it and hide himself. The bird will see you putting that snare, and he's going to escape. He's not going to fall for it. So whatever the devil is planning, when we pray, put on our spiritual prayer mantle every day, God will cause us to escape. Praise the Lord. So that's my short exhortation for today, and I want us to pray now. We're going to pray for the next few minutes. After I finish and close out this short exhortation in prayer, then I'm going to call for prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, because you gave us these lessons and these instructions of prayer and the structure of prayer, the right way to pray, knowing that you have given us these keys and this understanding. We want to use the keys the proper way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, today, as we pray together, Lord, let your ear be in, your ears be attentive to the prayers of your children, our prayers individually and our prayers collectively. Glory to God. Now, Lord, you have promised in your word, you know, that while we are yet speaking, you are hearing and answering. While the word is even still in our mouth, glory to God, the Lord will bring forth answers to our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. I want to read Isaiah 65 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And so let it be even as we go into prayers today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.